Back now with Day to Day, human skeletons can be found in places like med schools or museums. They originally come from far away, Calcutta, India. Investigative journalist Scott Carney reports that many of those skeletons are stolen.
For 200 years, Calcutta has been at the center of the global trade in human bones. In colonial times, British doctors hired thieves to snatch skeletons from Indian cemeteries. And today isn't much different. Grave robbing is more common than anyone would expect. Hello. Mohammed Jinnah Vishwas is a farmer from the village of Amdanga near Calcutta. He says that robbers have visited his village for generations, and now almost all the graves are empty. He's terrified of what will happen to his corpse when he dies.
When I die, when I'm gone, my body will also be stolen. Before, we didn't understand where all the bones were going. Now we know that they were taken by criminals.
Exporting human bones was legal until 1986, when the government banned the business. Reports surfaced that bone traders weren't satisfied with what they were finding in graveyards and were murdering people for their skeletons. But the change in law didn't put all of the 13 original bone exporters out of business. At least one went underground. That firm is called Young Brothers. Its offices are located in downtown Calcutta, between the city's biggest morgue and its largest cemetery. They represent themselves as a medical supply company and are not shy about advertising their selection of human bones. A former Young Brothers clerk says that they're willing to do anything to maintain a steady supply of bones. She requested anonymity. Although she left the company 6 years ago, she fears retaliation from her former boss if he finds out that she spoke to the media.
They took the body from the, river.
She says that Young Brothers took bodies from the river, the graveyard, and even from hospital morgues.
More than 5,000 dead bodies I've seen.
She says that she saw over 5,000 dead bodies. She left Young Brothers when Calcutta's health department chief, Javed Ahmed Khan, received complaints from neighbors about the company. They complained of an unbearable stench throughout the neighborhood. Khan ordered a raid of the facility in 2001. He describes what he saw this way.
Unbearable stench is coming out, and from the roof they saw human skeletons being boiled in big...
He says that he saw skeletons being boiled in cauldrons and dipped in caustic solutions to remove the fat and tissue.
Two rooms full stacked of human skeletons.
In addition to three truckloads of bones, he says he found invoices for shipments headed to the United States, Europe, South America, and even Singapore. But despite these findings, the owner of Young Brothers was released just a few days later. Outside Young Brothers' head office, I spot the owner, Vinesh Arun, as he pulls up in a white van to unload a shipment of supplies. He's notoriously press shy, but on this day he tolerates a couple of questions about the 2001 raid.
We won the case.
He won that case, he says. And what about the skeletons found in his house?
That was all export material.
Then he slips into the building and slams the door shut. In a later conversation that Arun did not want recorded, he says that he no longer deals in human bones. In the parking lot of a rustic police outpost about 100 kilometers outside of Calcutta sits a dilapidated SUV. The car's engine doesn't work anymore, but the locks do, so police use it as an evidence locker for priority cases. A constable in a sweat-stained undershirt jerks open the back door, hoists a gray sack, and dumps it on the ground. Human skulls tumble out as the bag springs open. At my feet are the bleached white remains of more than 100 people. The police intercepted this cache as it was making its way along a well-established route for smuggled human remains in May of this year. If those 100 skeletons had made it to the U.S., they could have fetched as much as $70,000. But police have been reluctant to prosecute cases like this one.
It depends upon the seriousness society places on it.
That's Rajiv Kumar, the Director Inspector General of Police in Calcutta.
We are asking our lawyers what law we should charge them in. But they do not know exactly how seriously we should view this activity as.
Although exporting bones from India is illegal, he says that he doesn't have the resources to enforce the law. And since there are no laws that criminalize bone imports to the United States or Europe, the black market business is actually sort of legal. Craig Kilgore, president of Kilgore International, used to trade in real human bones, but stopped when India imposed the 1986 ban. Kilgore says that there is still a strong demand for skeletons.
The detail in a human bone material is so far greater than it is in the plastic. Any of the instructors at anatomy labs will tell you that there's never any replacing the real thing.
One supplier in North America, Osta International in British Columbia, still sells human bones from India. Christian Rudiger, who helped run the company with his father, says that more than half of his buyers are in the United States. He declined to be interviewed for this radio program, but he told me about his business. He doesn't buy directly from India. Rather, the bones filter through a long string of middlemen in Paris and Singapore. When they finally go on sale, an Indian skeleton can fetch more than $3,000. For NPR News, I'm Scott Carney.
You can see photos of those skeletons at our website, npr.org. Scott Carney also writes about the bones of Calcutta in this month's Wired magazine.